some good fellowship, and now it's time for preaching. And if you have your copy of God's Word, we'll be taking our text out of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 tonight. We're going to look at verses 19 through 31. And I preach about hell probably two or three times a year, depending on the Lord's guidance. And it's not a popular message, but it's one that must be preached on. Every soul in this building tonight may be saved. I don't know. I don't know your soul's condition. You do, and the Lord does. But even if you are saved, we need to be aware and alert about the horrors of hell and what people are going to face one day. Now, we've been having Mission Month all month long, and we've been talking about missions, sending folks over into foreign lands, going places. But friends, the reason we do that is because our heart desires to see no one have to die and go to hell. And that is the Lord's desire as well. It's not His will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's what the Bible says. And so that should be our heart's desire as well tonight. And I won't have you stand tonight. I'm going to read all these verses, so quite a bit of reading. But we'll read this, and we're going to expound upon some of these verses and talk about the subject of the horrors of hell. Starting there in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Lord, may it go out and be blessed. And Lord, we just thank you so much. It's these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's some things in the Bible that I'd really love to preach about. I love to preach about the Apostle Paul. I love to preach about all the grace and the glory and the love of the Lord. And I really don't enjoy preaching about hell, but it is one of those things that we must preach. If you're a preacher of the Word, then you must preach the entire counsel of the Lord. And that is one of those things that we must preach on. And it needs to be preached on a little more today, I believe, than ever before. Because it seems like hell nowadays has gotten slipped from people's minds of just how real of a place that it really is and how much of a reality that it is. And one of these days, there's going to be a lot of people in hell. The Bible is very clear on that. Well, regardless of some of the false teaching going on today, hell is not here on this earth. You're not going through your own little hell here. There's some false teaching today going on that, you know, hell is really not a real place. It's just a state of mind. That is not true. It's not a state of mind. We're going to see that from our Scripture. We just read from our Scripture. It wasn't anyone's state of mind. It was a place, a real place where people went. Well, here in Luke 16, we have the actual story of two men. This is not a parable. The Bible doesn't say it's a parable. Jesus never said this is a parable. He gave a man's common name here, Lazarus. He didn't do that in any other parable. Why would we believe that to be a parable? I've heard it preached that way, that this was just a story that was made up. This is real. This is real people from the Bible. The Gospel of Luke is the only Gospel that we read this account in. And it's one of the most powerful messages in all of the Scripture. And certainly one of the most memorable. Well, in verse 19 there, it said, There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, it's really easy for us to look at the picture of this rich man and kind of get our little jealous streak going up. Well, he was a rich man. He deserved it, you know. Isn't that people's way they are today, that they see somebody that's got a little more than they do, and we start getting jealous of them? We start thinking that, you know, they've got everything so good and everything, and if something bad happens to them, well, they deserved it. Friends, that's not God's way. That's not the truth. We find here this man, just because he was rich, is not the reason that he went to hell. There's many rich men in heaven tonight. And it wasn't because he was rich that he was in hell. It's because he never gave his life to the Lord. That is why he was in hell. Well, I mean, you know, you can look at this in a couple of ways, but I want you to look at how the Bible tells us. Lazarus, he did. He was a poor man. He was a beggar. And he was full of sores. He didn't have much in this walk of life. He didn't get to enjoy the things that this rich man did. And by the way, I noticed that the rich man isn't named. Doesn't have a name. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This rich man is a picture of everyone that has not accepted Christ as their Savior, that ends up in hell. But I noticed that the other man, the one that did accept Jesus, his name is Lazarus, or here. Certain beggar named Lazarus. Well, I want you to realize, first of all, that this beggar man, even though he's a poor man, even though he didn't have things made, that's not why he went to heaven. That's not why he didn't go to hell. The reason he went to heaven, why he did not go to hell, was because he was a saved man, because he trusted the Lord as his Savior. That's why he went to heaven and he didn't go to hell. Well, the reason there that they went, they did how their lives laid out, what they did before they left this walk of life, because one day, every one of us, if you're under the sound of my voice tonight, you're going to go one way or the other. Either Lord Jesus is going to come back and he's going to take us out of here, or you're going to close your eyes in death. And my friend, when you wake up, you're going to be in one of two places. You're either going to be in hell, or you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And I want you to know that's the truth tonight. Verse 22 says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Now, I'm not going to go into all the details of all the Gehenna and all the different forms of hell and the different definitions of hell and all these things. This part that we're in tonight is talking about hell. And in that time before the Lord Jesus, before he ascended, and then he went down into the depths of the earth, and he brought those captives out, and the Bible talks about, and took them on to heaven, those Old Testament saints that he took on. And then I want you to know that hell enlarged itself. There's no longer a paradise in the center of this earth. No longer a paradise there separating hell there. Now paradise is in heaven. But in that time, we had a great gulf between the two. And you could not go between one or the other. The one, the people that trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they went over into the paradise section. The one that did not trust the Lord as their Savior, they went down into a place called hell. And it's a very real place where the souls of men, they are tortured and where they're in torment, as we just read tonight. Well, now you have to know something about the mindset of the Jews that day. As this story was being told, you see, their way of thinking was, if you were a rich man, you were being blessed by God. That was the way they saw things. Well, surely, you know, he's got all these things. He's got, you know, he's got all riches, and the Lord is really blessing that man. And that was their mindset. But friends, I want you to know that that's not the way it is. You see, they believed the Lord blessed those that he loved by allowing them to have health and wealth and prosperity. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? Don't you see those guys on the TV telling you, you know, if you want to have health, wealth, and prosperity, well, you just give your money to us and all those things. Yeah, that kind of teaching is still going on today. And they claim that, you know, if the Lord blesses you, you're going to see all these things. That's contrary to the teaching of the Bible, by the way. Not what the Bible teaches. There's a lot of that type of thinking going on. These Pharisees would see this rich man as being a picture of Israel. It'd be a picture of themselves. They believed that the poor people are the ones not being blessed by God. And they were out of God's will. So when Jesus tells this story here, you have to believe that it really shocked them. This was something new to them. This is something they didn't quite grasp. And they couldn't understand how this guy, and by the way, they were always trying to find something wrong with Jesus. And this is one of those things they could look at and say, listen to this. He's teaching different than what we do. This is not the way we believe. And so they were looking for something anyway. But this rich man should be the one in heaven in their mind. And the other one should be in hell. Well, I want you to know today that hell is filled with people that assume that they would not be going there. The Bible is very clear on this. I want to give you just a few passages of Scripture that lets me believe that with all my heart. You know, when 95% of the people in the United States claim they believe in God, by the way, and 85% claim they believe in Jesus, and they all believe they're going to heaven, you go take a poll down this in this community. You go knock on doors and you ask people, where are you going when you die? Well, I'm going to go to heaven. Really, why do you believe that? Well, they can tell you all kinds of things. Why I've lived a pretty good life. My granny did this. My papa did that. I mean, they've got every excuse in the book of why they think they're going to heaven. But I want you to know that's not the case. Everybody's not going to heaven that believes they are. Matthew 7 and 13 says this. This is Jesus. He says, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We find that Jesus is kind of blatant in your face telling us that not everybody's going that thinks they're going. And in fact, it's kind of the opposite looking. And further on down, the same chapter there in Matthew, Jesus says this in 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? Thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So this tells me there'll be many people in hell that assumed that they were going to be in heaven. Friends, I want you to know this is real tonight. It's real. Verse 24 said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, talking about the rich man, and send Lazarus. He remembered him, didn't he? Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. If you underline things in your Bible, you might want to underline that word tormented. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. There it is again. He's tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Well, I want you to know tonight that hell is a place of unanswered prayers. I want us to look at that again, and let's read it the way that probably that it really sounded in that time. Look at verse 24 again. You know, we can read this and we say, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. That sounds almost too sweet, doesn't it? I want you to know this man is tormented in hell when he's saying this. This is not some little feeble plea on his part. He is wanting out of here. He's desperate right now. What does he do? He cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Friends, this was a serious thing for this rich man. This was not some little light thing. He wasn't just kind of giving a little thing. Well, you know, if you'll help me out here, it'll be all right. That wasn't what it was. He knew that he was doomed. He was going to be tortured and in torment all his living life, for eternity. But he was praying. If you look there over across there in verse 27, it says there, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He's praying in hell. I want you to know tonight that everybody, a second when they hit those flames of hell, they'll be praying. They may have never prayed on the face of this earth. They may have heard a preacher get up and preach the gospel. They may have rejected Christ all their life long and refused to bow down and refused to pray to him. But I want you to know the second their feet hit the pits of hell, they'll be praying with all their heart. They'll be praying with everything they have. But their prayers will go unanswered. I want you to know that tonight. When they hit those flames, they'll be saying, Oh Lord Jesus! Save me! I didn't think I'd really go here. How many people tonight do you think were cast off into hell because they didn't trust Jesus their Savior? And they're praying down there. They're probably praying down there more than they are up here. Wanting out of there, but their prayers are not being heard. Their prayers are not going to be answered. It says, and he cried. He cried out. Friends, the Bible says that hell is a bottomless pit. Can you imagine as you're cast into hell and you're falling and it's never stopping. You know how you've had those dreams before where you feel like you're falling and it scares you to death and you wake up in the middle of the night and your heart's pounding in your chest because you think you're going to die. I imagine that must be kind of what hell is like as you're grasping for some kind of footing, some place that you can stop, some place that you can get comfort, some place you can hang on, but there's no place like that in hell. Hell is a bottomless pit. Do you comprehend exactly what that means? I mean, what a terror that would be. No wonder he was tormented. Just a terror, a feeling of hopelessness as a man enters into those charred walls of hell. No doubt he probably looks around in torment, screaming and praying out, trying to get some kind of help, but there's no help for him. He never dreamed this would really happen. He'll flail his arms and legs. He'll be sinking. He'll be drowning in that pit of hell, wanting to stop but can't, flailing around. Within seconds of being in hell, you'll hear him praying, "Oh dear God, save me from this torment. Oh, dear God, dear sweet Jesus, save me." The prayers will be meaningless on that day. The prayers will go unanswered. They'll go unheard. They will not be answered. No one's there to hear you. Hell is a place of torment and unspeakable horrors. We saw it used twice there in that one section there, that word tormented. Tormented. You know, probably nobody in here has ever been tormented. I don't know what you've been through in your life. I've had a few whippings and I thought I was being tormented, but I was not. Tormented is something that you do not believe you'll ever get over with. There's people being tormented today. We see on our newscast where they're whacking people's heads off that are Christians, and they're even their own people, cutting people's heads off. Those people are being tormented. They're being tormented. And I want you to know that goes on, but we don't understand this torment. I mean, we think we have a little cut, we have a scrape, or something happens to us. This is torment. This is nothing. This is child's play down here. But hell is a place of torment and unspeakable horrors. The Bible says this. Let's turn over to Mark 9 and 43. Mark 9 and 43. I want to look at the words of the Lord Jesus where He talks about hell. 9 and 43 through 48. And he's talking here, and he was talking about the offending the little ones that were there. But in verse 43 of Mark chapter 9, he says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." I want you to realize there that word "their worm" has not been changed in our King James Bible. It says "their worm." Some of the translations change that to lighten it. It says "where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Now, I know this is a direct scripture quote from Isaiah over in 66, I believe. And then he says, "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." Friends, I want you to know that hell is a real place where real people go, where real people are tormented, and the Lord Jesus Himself uses that word, hell fire, all throughout the Scripture there. He's the one that come up with that quote. It wasn't me. You know, somebody says, well, he's one of those hell fire and brimstone preachers. Jesus was the original one. In fact, I find in my Bible that he mentions hell more than he does heaven throughout the Bible. I believe it's a very important thing to him for people to understand just how real that it is. As you continue falling in your bottomless pit, you realize the horrific heat as you fall deeper and deeper into the abyss, into the blackness, as the flames of hell engulf you. There's no way out. And you realize that. Can you imagine the screams? Can you imagine the terror and the horror going on in the pits of hell? You'll be fully aware. You will suffer. You will not be consumed. You will be left in a body. The Bible's very plain that. He said you're going to hell, you know, with your two eyes, your two feet, and in your hands. That's a real person going in there. A real body will be going into the pits of hell. Now, you'll desperately look around trying to find a place to escape, but there is no escape once you enter into hell. I want you to know that. You're surrounded by others that are there. Others. I imagine that they're not really your top priority at the time when you fall into the pits of hell. The others that are there. But there will be others. And you will discover probably while you're there, there'll be people there that you do know. You know, some people think, well, you know, I've lived like hell on earth here. Oh, it won't be nothing for me to go down there and live in hell down there with all my buddies. Oh, you don't even have a clue. If that's your thought tonight, you don't have a clue. You'll have no buddies in hell. Oh, they may be people you know, people that you once were buddies with, but they will not be your buddy in hell. Nobody down there has a friend. Let me be very clear on that. All you'll hear around you is screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible's very plain on that. And then probably you'll hear someone screaming louder than anybody you've ever heard, and then you'll realize that it is you. You realize that it is you screaming. You'll be so desperate for relief from pain. There'll be no mama there to come and give you a drink of water. There'll be no friend there to come and comfort you. There'll be no Jesus there. Do you know there's no Jesus there to watch over you and to help you? There's no Holy Spirit to guide you. There's no book there of the Bible. There's no scripture there for you. There's no church in hell. There's many things that are not in hell that you can have pleasure in here on this earth. They're not there in hell. I want you to know, hell is a place of constant remembrance. You know, some people think, well, I'll just go down there and burn and I'll just go out of my mind. You know, I won't even know what's going on because it'll be so painful. You know, down here you can get hurt so bad that you don't even realize that you're hurting. I remember one time that I was running around the schoolyard. The grass was wet and slick and I was running with all my might. I fell down and I hit something on the ground, a sharp rock or a bottle, something was there. And it gashed me from here to here. No, it was right here. I've had so many stitches, I can't keep up with them. But it was this one, I believe. Yeah, it was this one. All right, I had, I think, 30 stitches right there. I fell down on the ground with my hand and hit that sharp object. And I got up and I kept running. I didn't even know I had cut it open. And one of my friends said, "Hey, you're bleeding." And I looked down and there's blood gushing out of my hand. And I can open it up and look down and see everything inside my hand. I mean, it was deep. I went to the principal's office and I said, I was holding my hand like this. And they said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I've cut myself. Let me see it." I slapped that up on the counter and blood was everywhere. And the woman standing behind the counter almost passed out. She was like, and she went and got the principal, you know, and called my parents. I had to go and get all these stitches in that hand. But friends, I want you to know, it was so deep and so bad, I didn't even realize that is not the case in hell. You're not going to go down there and be in such pain that it'll be your nerves will end the pain for you and that you won't remember it. You will be constantly aware of the pain and suffering. He said he was in torment. He wasn't in some kind of la-la land. He was very aware and he had a constant remembrance of things going on this earth. This rich man remembered how good he had it. He remembered how bad that Lazarus has it because he mentioned him by name. He said, hey, go over there and get Lazarus, the one, you know, that beggar that laid at my gate and ate my crumbs off my table. You go get him and have him dip his finger in the water and let me have a little bit on my tongue. He remembered that. You know, very vivid, he remembered it. My friend, you'll remember those messages where you sat and you heard a man of God preach from God's Word and tell you that you must accept Jesus as your Savior or you will die and you will go to hell. You'll remember that, I guarantee you, as you're in those pits of hell. You'll remember every time that you laughed at those gospel tracts as somebody tried to hand you one. You'll laugh, every time that you laughed at that radio when you were turning, trying to find something on the radio that you like and you heard that old preacher on there, you know, hacking and going on and you made fun of him. You'll remember every time that you did that. You'll remember every time that your sweet granny or your parents come to you and say, "Would you go to church with me tonight?" And you laughed at them. You said, "I'm not one like that. I don't go for that. I don't go down to that church where all those old people go. I've got no part of that." You'll remember every second of that, my friend. Down in the pits of hell, you'll remember it. Your memory will be very vivid, but it will be too late. It'll be a place of deep regret and deep sorrow in the pits of hell. Hell is a place of eternal separation. I've already said it tonight. Your mama, well, if she was lost, she'll be down there, but she won't be your mama down there. But you won't be with those that are saved, those that went on, those that you loved, that have accepted Jesus as their Savior. You won't be there with them. They'll not be part of your life anymore. They can't help you anymore. They're not even part of that. They'll not see you. You'll not see them. Perhaps, you know, you're thinking that this place there, worse than anything in all of hell there, the worst thing is probably that separation. Not only the separation of those that you love, but the separation of the love of God. Even if you're lost tonight, I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you and He watches over people. I want you to know that even if you're not saved, He watches you and He loves you anyway. But friends, I want you to know that love of God is not there. Why? Because God created hell to pour out His wrath and His fury, His holy wrath upon evil and sin is what He poured it, made hell for. He created it for the devil and his angels. And the Bible says that it enlarges. It enlarges. Why? Because it's getting filled and filled and filled with sinners lost and going to hell. There will be no families in hell. Even if you've not been saved, your whole family, even if your whole family goes to hell, you're not going to be a family unit in hell. You're not going to be that way. There'll be no loveliness in hell. There's no families. No one loves you there. How you wish and hope and pray you could go back and do it all over again. Oh, there's people down there with deep regrets and deep sorrow. Oh, if I could go back, and I could go back to that little church on Babley Road, and I could sit back there on that pew again and listen to the man of God tell me about Jesus. If I could go back and talk to my granny, and she tried to convince me that I was a lost sinner on my way to hell. If I could go back and do it again, I would do it, but it's too late. There'll be no going back. There'll be nothing but regrets and sorrow in hell. You won't be able to do it. It'll be too late. Totally separated from everything and everyone that you ever loved. Look at verse 27. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he might may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Hell will be a place of eternal regret. We find this rich man, even in the pits of hell, even in his misery and his torment, he's thinking about his family that he loved, that's still on this earth, that have not received Jesus as their Savior. He still thinks about them, and he don't want them to end up where he is at. He has enough love for them, even in hell, that he don't want to see them there in those flames with him, because it's a torment. And he prays there. He says, please, just send somebody over to my daddy's house. Tell my brothers, because they're all lost, if they'll just repent, if they'll repent of their sins and trust Jesus as Savior, they won't have to come here. Please send somebody there. Please. He's praying it. He's praying it, but his prayers are not going to be answered because his prayers will not work in hell. No longer will prayer even benefit you. You cannot warn those that you once loved here on this earth. All these people today that think it's so cool to dabble around in these satanic things and these symbols and signs and all the demonic things that we see, the skulls, the crossbones, the flames, the drawings, the symbols, they'll discover that these things are not godly things. These things are the things that Jesus came and He died to put away on this earth. Friends, we've got no business with that kind of thing. We've got no business going around trying to look like these evil things, these monsters, and the things of hell that people want to place on their clothing, upon their books. And I've seen people with skulls and things. We don't allow our children to get clothing that's got those skull and crossbones on them. That's a popular thing. And they've got them on shoelaces and shoes and clothing. We don't allow that. Why? Because it's glorifying the things of the devil, glorifying the things of hell. And Jesus came here to die for us so that we didn't have to worry about all that stuff. That should not be part of the Christian's walk. That should not be part of you. We've got no business with it. We don't have any business. There was no parties in hell. You're not going to get down there with your buddies and sing AC/DC songs and carry on with rock and roll and all that stuff, all that garbage. That won't be part of hell. You know, the devil will make you think that that's the great thing. You know, you see all these teenagers that get into that scene, and I remember it back when I was a teenager. I mean, they thought it was cool. What was it, Motley Crue and Kiss, and you know, they dressed up like some kind of demons, and we sat there and we said, boy, I want to be one of those rock stars because it looks so cool. You look at those guys now, they're not cool. Trust me, they're not cool. And they're going to, in hell down there, they're not going to be down there playing a rock band. That's not going to exist in hell. You won't be living it up. You won't be having a great time with all your hellish friends. There'll be no drinking in hell because there's no water. There's no nothing down there to soothe you. You have no friends. I want you to know tonight that hell is not the thing that a lot of people think it is. It's not your state of mind. Regardless of what Rob Bell may say, it's not something here on this earth. But it's down in the pits, the center of this earth. The Bible talks about that, how it went down to the depths of the earth. But it's down there. It's a place. And I want you to know at the end of the time, at that great white throne judgment, on that second arising of those bodies, as they come up and they stand and they receive their judgment before the Lord Jesus Almighty, and He announces their sentence. It's not a time to plead your case. It's not a court trial. It's not a trial at all. In fact, it's a sentence. And when they're called forth, and He will display all the things that they did and declare them guilty, and they will be cast into a lake of fire. Friends, I want you to know, that's where people go when they're lost, when they don't know Jesus as their Savior. They've never accepted Him. They've never repented of their sins and trusted Jesus as their Savior. They will end up in that lake of fire, in that place called hell. That is what the Bible says. Now, I want to ask you tonight. Now, I know this has been a tough message tonight. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you stand tonight. I've heard some of your testimonies, and praise God, I can't wait to worship with you in heaven one of these days. But if there's one tonight in this building, one soul that has never trusted Jesus as your Savior, tonight needs to be the night. Today, this is the day of salvation. Today. You can put it off. You may go out here and go down Bailey Road. Somebody may hit you head on, and you will experience everything I've talked about tonight if you've not been saved. If you're listening to this over the internet or on the radio where we publicly put our messages at, if you're listening to it, I want you to know, if you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, there will be a day when you will wake up, either in heaven or hell, but if you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior, you will wake up in a devil's hell when you open your eyes. Those that are saved to be absent from the body will be present with the Lord. Those that are lost, absent from the body, you're going to be present in hell. I want them to come to get the invitation song tonight. And I want us to pray. If you're a Christian tonight, if you've been saved, you've trusted Jesus your Savior, and you're glory bound, you're on your way to heaven, I want you to pray for those tonight, whether they're in this house or whether somewhere else and may hear this message later. I want you to pray for those lost souls that one day they will trust Jesus before it's too late. Friends, because the horrors of hell, there's nothing else that we can say about it tonight than what the Bible has already told us. It is horror. Let's stand tonight as they play the invitation song. And I want to pray if you need to be saved tonight, if you need to come down and discuss with me from the Bible what it means to be saved, or if you're backslidden or some other problem, would you come tonight and let me pray with you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message tonight. Lord, I pray that it's been a blessing to you. Lord, I pray most of all that we've preached the gospel effectively tonight. We've told people about the realities of the horrors of hell. And God, we know, as we've already said, it's not your will that any should perish and have to go to that place. But Lord, we know that many will. Lord, if there's one tonight in this building that's never been saved, God, would this be the night that they trust their soul, their life, everything over to you tonight, Lord, and be wonderfully and gloriously saved before it's too late. Lord, is there one tonight? Everybody's praying tonight. Everybody's still praying. I want you to keep praying. If you need something from the Lord, would you come to this altar and pray with me tonight? I'll stand right down here. I'm not going to prolong this invitation long. Just as this verse goes through, if you need help, you come down here and pray. As we're praying, you come down. You slip out of that aisle, you come down. We'd love to pray with you. Is there one tonight? Anyone tonight with a need? You're lost, you're backslidden.